FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's the last day of January 2019. We're having stock market rallies, gold rallies. We're having rallies. I mean, who can keep track of all this stuff? It is an amazing time to be alive. Incredible things are happening all around you. Opportunities abound. And all you have to do is open your eyes and look. And as always, you want to find out where those opportunities are, then please send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Also, sign up at financialsurvivalnetwork.com for our email list and newsletter, because opportunities are shown in there every week that we send it out. Well, somebody who's been showing you opportunities for years, he was on the show just a month ago, said, "Don't worry about the stock market. It's going higher still." I'm talking about Nick Santiago, IndemoneyStocks.com. Nick, it's great to have you back on. So you said a month ago, and you even gave a couple of stocks, you said home builders, retailers going higher. You were spot on as usual.
Well, I guess I get lucky sometimes, Kerry. but yeah, I mean, there's opportunities out there. And that's what I try to always tell people is don't fear the market, just benefit from it. And that's exactly what we did. And, you know, now the markets have had a tremendous surge. Those two equities that I told your members about, the ITB, which was U.S. home construction, you know, that thing's up about 18-19% from where I told the members to buy it. The retailer ETF, which is the XRT, I think that's up 18-19%. Now, personally, I only took a gain of 11%. But, you know, point being made is that...
Well, you're conservative.
Yeah,
you're a conservative investor. You're a conservative investor, Nick. Everyone knows that. But yeah, of course, and you don't have to hold on to something for the last possible dollar. So let's look at the stock market now. It's rallying on the Fed. It's been going higher. So the Fed has kind of chickened out. Does this mean we're going to see a resurgent bull market?
No, not right away, but we will later this year. So what we're going to do now, in my opinion, is we're probably getting up into some pretty good resistance levels. So if you just look at the time factors that are involved, we have a pivotal time period in March, and then you always get sell in May and go away. So you got to get through that middle of the year. That's going to be a little bit tough. I don't know exactly what the catalyst will be for more turbulent markets, but it will lead to more opportunities, and you'll get a chance to own the markets again at better levels. Right now, I mean, for members or for people to be buying the market up here, yeah, there's probably a little bit more upside to go, but then we're going to run into some real resistance levels. You'll get some headwinds. You'll probably hear some news headlines, whether it's, you know, Trump related, which I probably think it would be, or, you know, maybe there's other countries involved about something. There's always something geopolitically happening that spooks markets. But ultimately, you get those big sell-offs. You want to, you know, basically go to the charts. The charts will tell you everything you need to know. And again, you know, they've made me a lot of money recently, and hopefully they made your listeners some money too.
Hey, so I'm looking at the S&P 500, and the low day was the day right before Christmas, 2351.1. And you think that the gains, this rally, which is now getting up pretty high, you know, it's in that 2700 range, you think it's going to retrace back and test that December low? Or is it just going to kind of muddle along in a channel?
Yeah, I think we're going to muddle along. We're getting up into very, very good resistance points now on the S&P. You could make a case that 2,700, 2,750, anywhere around there is going to be, you know, big resistance. And the markets aren't going to be able to get through there. You got to remember, that's where there were a lot of buyers. And what happens to somebody when they've been in pain for a long time and they get to get back at break even, they get the stock at break even or an equity at break even, they're going to be sellers. So you got to just anticipate that, you know, we've had a really good run, and now we're going to really go into what we call a choppy zone, but it's going to be what I call a trader's market. You're not going to, the easy money has been made. The easy money was, hey, let me listen to that guy on the radio show and buy in December, like he said. And, you know, now the markets are up. Now it's going to be a stock picker's market. You're going to have to go in there, thread the needle a little bit, and that's what's going to make money. But, you know, there's still a lot of opportunities out here. We're in the middle of earnings season. You just got a favorable Fed announcement yesterday. You might have a China trade deal come out very soon. I actually thought that would be done a long time ago, or at
same
least,
here.
You know, some kind of real concrete foundation for a deal, but we'll see what comes out of that. But overall, I do expect you know, the markets now to be very, very choppy.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But kind of muddling along, the Fed, you know, they kind of have the wind at their backs now. I mean, yeah, it's a long bull market, 10 years, longest ever. But the Fed has just reversed course, quite obviously, and that probably is bullish for stocks. We know that it's been bullish for gold, right?
It absolutely has. And what a lot of people don't realize about gold is that it's actually trading with the market now. So as the market inflates, so is gold. And that happened back in 2009. That happened in 2010, all the way up to 2011. Then in September of 2011, that relationship broke apart. But that is back on right now. So gold and the market are kind of synonymous. They're trading together, and they're very, very similar patterns that are out there. I happen to think gold now has had such a tremendous run. And I have not been favorable of gold. You know, it was constructive, the pattern, but I really wasn't so convinced that, you know, we could go a lot higher. And, you know, gold is getting a little bit overbought now, as is the market. But remember, the market and gold these days are together. They're in lockstep with each other at the moment.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I was just at the Vancouver Resource Conference and the Metals Investor Forum, and this was before gold broke 1300 and before silver broke 16. And I would say the attitude was guardedly optimistic. Now I'm talking to these guys on the phone, and they're like ready to roll, lock and load. Everybody is on a sugar high. So it makes sense. Gold goes up a little more, and then a pullback, test that 1300 level, you think, in the next few weeks?
I would say that's a possibility. I couldn't get bullish gold at the moment, but yeah, I do think a pullback is in order, even where we are now. For gold, I don't think it's going to be any kind of hard sell. The one thing I would say, though, if you ever look at a monthly chart of gold, you'll see that we've been in a pretty amazing channel, right? So anytime we get down to, say, 1100 and change, you know, gold seems to find some equilibrium. But that is a pattern that is building for a breakout in the coming years. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but it's not a deconstructive pattern. It's a constructive pattern, you know? So
yes.
Any opportunity that traders get over the next year, I would say sometime in late 2019, 2020, even, you want to start to nibble and just start to accumulate your gold position. Gold will have its day in the sun again, whether you're a gold bug or not. It always has, from biblical times, been the currency of choice, and it will always be the currency of choice.
Hey, and it's so interesting. You know, I've pulled up the chart that you mentioned, monthly closing prices for gold going back to 2014, and it never broke 1400. A few times it went close to 1100 and went below 1100 a little bit, like once, maybe twice. But the rest of the time, it's been in this 15% channel or so. If you go back from 2015, or actually 2016, the channel gets even tighter. And that's showing pent up buying. Well, I mean, look, if it broke the channel on the downside with authority, then it could really be bearish. But really what this seems to be showing is some real pent-up energy on the upside.
Yep. And absolutely. I want to point something else out. I wish we had a visual of the chart. But if you just look at that chart, you're talking about the low being made in 2015. You actually had a higher low in 2016. And then you had a higher low just now in 2018 in August.
Correct.
And higher lows are very constructive for more upside. So I would say if we're going to look at ultimate upside for 2019, I'd probably be more inclined to say, you know, around 1380, 1385.
Yeah.
Just shy of that 1400 level, which has been very, very psychological. I do think you need more consolidation. But once that 1400 level is broken with conviction, I mean, these markets... probably gold market probably goes back to its 2011 high again and even higher
probably.
So that, yeah, but you can see the writing on the wall. Anybody that's the lightest of a chart, I'm a chartist, I've been doing this for so many years, but if you just look at that chart, it's very easy to see that higher low scenario coming in.
And you're seeing effectively an ascending wedge. You know, the lows are not as low. And the highs aren't really higher. It's more like a straight line from 2016 on. It's a straight line across, but the bottom line of the chart is distinctly up. So you got that pendant, they call it, but it's an ascending pendant. You know, when it blows, it's going to go bigly, as they say. So let's talk about some other markets. Oil, still in the dumps. Trading in the low 50s, which is great when you go to the gas station and you can buy gas for $2 a gallon, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Fabulous. You know, it's great for the consumer. Right now, crude's been on a little bit of a move. $56, still a lot of resistance on the daily chart. But it's fantastic when you go to the pump. I mean, I own a big, you know, 4x4. And, you know, to fill that thing up used to be pretty expensive. Now I fill it up and, you know, for $45, I'm out of there. It's pretty good. So I love the low gas prices. I think, you know, high fuel prices are a tax on the consumer. And, you know, I don't see the negative of it. I know a lot of people do think about it, but I don't really see the negative of $50 oil.
As long as you're not in the oil services business or a fracker, it's okay. But even then, they've managed to bring down the price of fracking enough through technology. They keep saying U.S. oil production is going to peak, that fracking is over, blah, 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 overrated. But I haven't seen it yet. And I've been hearing this, Nick, since I got into this business 7.5 years ago, that fracking, the wells are too short-lived, they're too capital intensive, it can't work for the future. And yet every time I look, our oil production goes up. And this has been, if you look at a chart of oil production, now granted 11 million barrels, 15 million with the distillates, the concentrates, you know, wet gas, it's not that big a deal in a 100 million barrel per day market, but it still is significant considering that we were at around 7 million barrels a day a short while ago.
Well, we do have more natural gas reserves than Saudi Arabia has oil reserves. Mm-hmm. So people have to realize that. And fracking technology has improved so much. It's been so dramatic. I don't see it ending, to be honest. And I think that's a very good resource that we have. And you'll start to see things start shifting more towards natural gas. In fact, we're working out trade deals right now where we're going to start exporting natural gas. So it's, I think it's a win-win, not only for the United States, which has become, sort of independent a little bit when it comes to energy, but I think it's a win for the whole world.
Hey, well, nat gas prices in the U.S., I haven't looked at them lately. The last time I looked, they were in the $3.50 range. They're probably up a lot right now because of the cold snap.
They're actually at $2.80 now. So they're,
even after the cold snap. There it is.
Because the market always factors the cold earlier than the public. True. So, we had a big, if you look at a nat gas chart, we had a big spike recently, and now nat gas futures have, settled down a bit. So, it's all about the charts. I mean, if you look in November and December, nat gas futures spiked. They were, almost they were at 480. Now we're back down to 280. So, everything has that big parabolic move, and then it resorts back to its equilibrium. And, I think we'll settle in around 275 for nat gas, and that's where it should be.
Yeah. Well, and the point is in overseas, in Asia, it's $15. So arbitrage, even with the cost of putting it on a tanker, compressing it into liquefied natural gas, requires energy to do that, requires energy to ship it halfway across the world, it still comes out so much less that everyone in the nat gas business is going to be looking to do this, right? I mean,
they
everyone
are looking to do it. It's happening. It's happening. The LNG business is hot. It's happening. They're going to start doing it. Trump has already worked out deals. You're going to see that'll be a major China announcement, too. They're going to be selling China natural gas. I mean, that's what's coming.
They're probably going to have to build more terminals. That's another area where Trump can help. And has helped because getting rid of the ridiculous restrictions used to be the only place you could pump out natural gas, I think, was in Louisiana, because they originally built the port to import natural gas. So you just had to reverse the flow. And then they built another one. I don't remember where it was, but there's a couple of terminals that can ship it out now. So interesting things on energy. What about the good old greenback here? It's been holding steady. It seems like even in the midst of the lower market, it's at 95 and change right now on the Dixie Index. Is it just kind of do a channel and kind of muddle it?
The dollar right now is just in a big consolidation. It had a huge move. That was a trade that I talked about on your program and got into early in the year. And it was a fabulous play. Now it's just consolidating. It's just going back and forth, up and down. But here's why the dollar ultimately goes higher. Because European Central Bank can never stop printing money. I don't see where they could ever stop printing money, nor do I see the Bank of Japan. When can they ever really go and start to tighten in their economy? They can't do it. So money will continue to come into dollars, and foreign capital comes into dollars. And if you want to buy a barrel of oil and you live in Japan, you got to convert that into dollars. If you want to buy a barrel of oil and you live anywhere, you got to convert that to dollars. So bottom line is everything is traded in dollars. It's still the world's reserve currency. And when you have central banks around the world outside of the United States, and the Federal Reserve, you got to realize these guys can never really stop printing money in the foreseeable future. I'm going to say for at least the next 10 years, if not even longer. So they have to, people will come in and buy dollars. And then the more you have all of these different types of regimes coming in that are socialists, money wants to escape those places. And where does it go? It comes into dollars. And that's going to continue.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the death of the dollar is greatly exaggerated, shall we say?
100% exaggerated. It's a farce.
Yeah, because the dollar isn't just a currency unit. It's a system, all right? A trading platform, if you will, for pricing goods, for pricing services, military, and And for banks, a place where you store reserves, if let's say you're Mercedes-Benz and you got $10 billion you want to store overnight, are you going to put it in Deutsche Bank or are you going to put it in JP Morgan Chase or buy treasuries? What are you going to do as a money manager? You're going to put tons of money into Deutsche Bank? I mean, that's suicide, no. Isn't it?
That's right. Suicide. You're not doing it. And you're not going to put money in any other bank outside of the U.S. And that's the bottom line. And we see it. That's really why the dollar has had such a huge move, since the early part of the year. I mean, since beginning of 2018. And, that will continue. It's not going to go up in a straight line, and we don't want it to. Really, a strong dollar can hurt American exports, obviously. It'll hurt the multinational companies. But this is what we're looking at. You can't have European countries, people in Europe that are wealthy get taxed to death. They're going to put their money here in the United States. They're going to put it in dollars.
Yeah, no doubt. You're right. And they're doing it. And that's one of the reasons why the stock market keeps going up. Because, look, you could talk about fundamentals. You could talk about profits. You could talk about how long the bull market has been going on. But in the final analysis, if more people are buying stocks than are selling, what happens to the price?
Goes higher.
Yeah. And certainly the flow of funds from around the world, unless we really do something to screw it up, is going to continue because there ain't no other place to put it other than gold and, precious metals, which you're a $100 billion a year corporation. You can't put your company's reserves into gold. There is no way to do it.
No, there's not. And that's, another reason why money goes into the dollar. And again, we've talked about this on prior shows, but the reality of it is just look at the chart. The money continually comes into the dollar. And, the dollar is an asset now. And that's what people have to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about how screwed up the system is. And we both know how bad the system really is. But there aren't a lot of choices. So anyways, Nick, InTheMoneyStocks.com, what's your latest offering?
Well, we always offer a 7-day free trial to our research center. That's where you'll get all of our reports, all of our trade setups. We offer a 7-day free trial to our intraday stock chat room to anybody that wants to trade with us throughout the entire trading session each and every morning. And again, we're having a fabulous start to the year. We're going to look to keep that going. We had a great 2018. And again, we're not right all the time. Don't let anybody tell you they are. That's not the way it works. But we could bat 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, and use good money management, you could create a lifestyle.
Hey, and you can't ask for more than that, whether it's just some added income. And the other thing you do is you keep the risk really low and manageable too, right?
That's everything. I mean, just knowing where you're wrong is really the first step to this business, to success in this business.
Hey, well, Nick, it's always great having you on. As I said before, join the show. If some things Nick said raised some questions or made you think, then just send us an email to kl@carrylutz.com. And if you're listening on YouTube or you're on the regular podcast channels, please subscribe, like, and share. It really helps me a lot when you do it. It really helps get the message out and get the show out. And that's a good thing. Nick, we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kerry. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.